Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Did you know, before Noah's flood, it had never rained on the earth? A whole lot of people don't know that. But up until that time, it had never rained. And a group of Spirit-filled scientists, the ground rules were, we don't take anything from tradition. We don't take anything from what we've all been taught the Bible says about these things. I'm talking about the creation, first five books of the Bible. But we go there by revelation and scientific research. And one of the things they did, well, I won't go into all that because we don't have time. But then they realized what happened when the fountains of the deep, we'll read that in a moment, broke up. Mm-hmm. And their estimate, knowing the temperature of the center of the earth, that water must shot out through cracks in the earth's surface at least miles high. And then as it did and it fell, and then what happened then? Well, then we know what happened then. It turned into thunderstorms. There'd never been one, ever. And so you can look at the continents of the earth and so forth, and you can see how they fit together. But that is the second time it was flooded. But anyway, let's go.
Now, this entire planet looked totally different prior to Noah flood than it does now. When we're talking about covenants, we're going back now to Noah's. Everything that is profitable solves a problem. This mug solves a problem.
That's right.
This pen solves a problem. If you want to be profitable, solve a problem. So we have a problem. We had a problem in the time of Noah, and that the earth was corrupt and violent. And it's funny, very interesting word in the original Hebrew for violence had come through the earth. We'll look at that verse in a minute. It's the word Hamas. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus gives us a clue, and this is why we have to pay attention to Noah. Let's look at Luke chapter 17, verse 26. Jesus is speaking. And he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now, Matthew records the same thing, but he gives a little further clarification for this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 through 38. Matthew 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. What is he talking about? He's talking about his coming. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But as the days, and then he goes right to Noah's covenant.
That's right.
But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. This was a time that violence had filled the earth. And now I find that very interesting. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Marrying and giving in marriage is two different things. How do I liken our days to this day? Marrying is covenant. That's God's form of marriage. Pharisees questioned him all the time about divorce and marriage. Giving in marriage, that's a different thing. That's what a judge does. Now, over to Genesis 6. So Jesus warns us about it. And then we get over here, Genesis chapter 6. I'll start with verse 5. And God saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually, only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What was happening in the earth, Brother Copeland, is they were trying to corrupt the seed. Lucifer was trying to corrupt the seed, because if he can corrupt seed, then he can stop the promised seed from coming. And that's exactly what we see today. We see seed being corrupted.
Jude 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. All right, Genesis 6, 4.
Okay.
And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were old men of renown. And those that were capable of that have been put in chains and everlasting darkness. That right. can't happen in this earth any longer.
Right. Now, even though God is saying, I wish I wouldn't have done it, if you'll go up above it, he goes up here and he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but for that he's also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Before he even says, I'm going to wipe everything off, he's making a promise for the future. That no, the hair
once
will be...
Once this is done...
And now we're talking about people that lived 900 years. Once this is done...
Then after all this takes place, then the normal lifespan will be 120 years.
That's exactly right. Okay, now I'm going to read an excerpt from God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction, which came out last week, and you get your copy of it. I'm going to read from page 82. With the future of the world in his hands, Noah believed what God told him and did everything exactly as God had commanded, and that references 6:22. By faith, Noah being forewarned by God, this is reading out of Hebrews, the Amplified, Amplified Classic Edition, Hebrews 11:6. By faith, Noah being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign, took heed and diligently, reverently constructed, prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family by faith. By this, his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief and became an heir and possessor of righteousness, that relation of right into, of being right into which God put the persons of faith. He constructed this thing that he didn't have any idea what it was for.
No.
But he did it by faith.
Yeah, he did.
And then in the book on page 82, it says this, Noah had never seen rain or floods. He had never seen a boat at all, much less one which every species of animal could be transported under one roof, Genesis 2:6. But that didn't matter to Noah. He had a working relationship or covenant with God, and he trusted him.
Praise
And he
God.
Began to build it and began to work at it. He began to preach to those people who were mocking him and making fun of him. And, he spent all those years preaching, and he didn't get anybody saved except his own family with him. So don't ever think you're not successful.
Eight people.
In your ministry. If you only get eight saved, well, that's okay.
And that's the definition of a few. Because that's what the Word said. Those few. So the answer to that question.
And so they enter into the ark, and I'm going to read you again here, Genesis 7, 13, 14, from Amplified Classic. It says this, and they entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded Noah, and the Lord shut him in and closed the door round about him. Look again at that last verse that says, page 83 of the book. Who does it say shut the door to the ark? God shut the door. Noah received it by faith, but once he and his family were in, God closed them in. And I think that's a picture for this last time before he comes. We have an ark of God, the protection about us.
God's foreknowledge of how rough this thing's going to be. And he gave the dimensions of this ship. It wasn't a boat, it was a ship. And so he shut it. He closed it so it didn't leak. He gave him all of the instructions, but he saw to it that it did not leak. He closed the door. Now, I don't know how he did that. I just know he did. He shut the door.
And once he closed the door, there's nobody that can open it. Mm-mm. Noah himself couldn't open it to let somebody in. God sealed him. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, we have.
In our covenant as a promise. Praise God.
Now, let's
go back to that.
You go ahead.
Genesis, when they get through this flood, the water coming up from the deep, the firmament coming down, the animals, the very first thing that he does when it's all over, he's been in there maybe a year mm-hmm. with all the animals. The very first thing that we see Noah doing is, and I've got it on page 86 here in the book that I opened it up to. When they come out, the very first, I want to show you the very first thing they heard, and it'll sound familiar to you.
Yes.
God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply.
He started over with the same blessing.
It's the exact same.
With Adam. Mm-hmm.
I'm starting over with you.
So you can see, God is a blessing God. He's called the blessed one. So the blessing was being destroyed and just wiped out of the earth. It was not here anymore. So he cleaned it up. Mm-hmm. And started out with the same words.
That's right. That Adam had heard.
That Adam had heard.
And a lot of their lives overlapped because they lived so long.
Yes, it did.
So once they were on dry ground again, the very first thing Noah does is he builds an altar. And he offers a sacrifice unto God. I wrote it down right here. The altar upon which Noah presented the offerings to the Lord, and such an altar mentioned in the Bible. It's the first time we have an altar being built. And with the shedding of blood on that altar, the covenant between God and Noah was cut. Right there. After he'd come through the flood, he makes an altar. Now, think about this for a second. Most of the animal life on this planet's gone.
Yes, it is.
Only what had been in that ship. And he offered it to God. That's an expensive offering.
Yes.
It's a very expensive offering. Now, a lot of people don't realize this. You may not know this. How many animals did... Let me ask the class. We're going to Kenneth Copeland Bible College here. How many animals did he take in? Not total. How many monkeys?
Two
of each, right?
Yes
and no. He took seven of clean animals. A lot of people don't realize the clean animals... Genesis chapter 7... Verse 1, the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, male and his female. So the clean animals, there were seven of those. I believe that there were births in that ark.
Well, there
had to the animals reproduced in there.
They took male and female in there, and that thing was huge.
I wouldn't be surprised if the females that went in weren't already pregnant and then had, I don't know how many rabbits they came out with by the time, year in the ark.
Lots of rabbits.
But they took seven of the clean animals. Now, here's my lightning fast mind started thinking, how did he know? We haven't had Moses yet. So how did he know what's a clean animal and a not clean animal?
Thank you.
Somehow he knew.
How did he know?
There are certain things we're not meant to have. Mm-hmm. He knew that there were certain animals that are going to be clean.
Well, in my way of thinking, God dealt with him one at a time as they lived and what they ate. Mm-hmm. Had to have. Mm-hmm. Don't eat that thing. They have another purpose. And so...
Well, he already knew not to murder because of Cain and Abel. I mean, there are Noahide laws, they call them, that were already in place, just not written down like we have. So after they come out, he makes this altar. And what did God do? He gave a sign immediately after that. And it's right here. The covenant seal of Noah is the rainbow. And I'm going to look at page 88 of God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction. The rainbow is not just a natural earthly phenomenon in heaven. There's a rainbow that surrounds God's throne. The prophet Ezekiel saw it in a vision with the foreign living creatures in heaven, and he said in Ezekiel chapter 1, 26 through 28, and this is the complete Jewish Bible, is where I'm going to read this from. Above the dome that was over their heads was something like a throne that looked like a sapphire. On it, above it, appeared to be a person. So they're sitting on a sapphire. I saw what looked like gleaming amber-colored fire radiating from what appeared to be his waist upward. Downward from what appeared to be his waist, I saw what looked like fire giving a brilliant light to all around him. The brilliance all around him looked like a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. Revelation chapter 4, the Apostle John, will see a rainbow versus Revelation 4, 2, and 3. We'll see a rainbow round about the throne. There's a rainbow, Brother Copeland, around the throne of God that goes all the way around.
It's 360
degrees. It's not this.
No, it's 360 degrees around the throne. So that he's made a promise, and it's right here. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be more be a flood to destroy the earth. I'll establish my covenant with you. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living thing and of all flesh, that the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow or the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth.
It's not just man, it's every creature.
Every creature.
And God, two times there, says, I did it so I can remember.
And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah.
Everywhere God looks in his throne in heaven, he sees that covenant reminder. He's remembering.
Yes, he is.
So Jesus speaks of it as it was in the days of Noah. God has not forgotten. Listen, they're going to try. They try to scare you with climate change and everything else. Can't happen. There's not going to be a destruction of this earth based upon that covenant symbol.
Amen.
And that covenant symbol was given after he offered, first of all, the seed was corrupting itself. As it was in the days of Noah. We're seeing that same type of thing today.
And we're out of time, but we'll be back in just a few moments. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Discover how simple the answer to every question and every problem in life can be in God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction, a new book by Kenneth Copeland and Greg Stephens. In this approachable book, dive deep into what a covenant is and what it's for. Discover what your covenant does for you and learn to overcome every contradiction and obstacle. With every covenant promise comes a contradiction. When you read in the Bible that by Jesus' stripes you're healed and the diagnosis comes back incurable. Or when you're facing a towering stack of unpaid bills. When you read that God promises you prosperity. Common sense and human reasoning rise up to shout, there's no way that God's promises will happen in your life. Thank God. Covenant men and women throughout time have refused the contradiction and praised through in faith to the end result, the blessing promised by God, and you can too. See the Bible unfold more clearly than ever before in God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction.
God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction, the brand new book by Kenneth Copeland and Greg Stevens, is finally released and available for purchase for only £19.50 on kcm.org.uk/TV special. Outside the UK, call for postage. In this exciting all-new book, discover how your covenant with God overcomes every contradiction and obstacle so you can access His promises of healing, peace, and protection. Order today.
I'm Dove Morgan Schmidt. I'm from Bristow, Oklahoma now, and my roots go deep into Texas, though, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and he's just such an awesome, awesome minister of the gospel and changed our lives. And talk about multiplication. Brother Copeland has multiplied everywhere all over the world, and we multiply that as well, you know, with what we do. But Brother Copeland is just such an encouragement, and I thank God for him. One night, it was August 7th, of last year, and I was walking in the yard. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and something hit my foot that was so painful, and it was a baby copperhead had bit me twice. And that was such a shock to me because of walking in the Word all these years, you think that kind of thing is never going to happen to you. But immediately, I needed an ambulance. My blood pressure on the ambulance was 267 over 165. The challenge was finding a hospital with anti-venom serum. And so they went to one hospital, they didn't have it, so we had to go to another hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So they hurried me through ER, of course I didn't have to wait, and hooked me up in ICU to, I had six or eight vials of anti-venom, and I was there 3 days in ICU. And it was a very traumatic time, and my foot got huge. I just called on the Lord, you know. I would play my phone, and I Raise a Hallelujah would be playing all the time. You know, I remember one of the nurses came in, she goes, "I feel Jesus in here." And it was all, I just had prayer going everywhere, and I'm just so grateful for the Word of God being strong in me from all the years of being hooked up with ministries of faith like Brother Copeland's. And I asked the nurse, I said, "What is in that anti-venom serum? How do they do that?" As I was getting another vial put in me. And she said, "You know, honey, it's called Crofab and it's lamb's blood." And I'm like, "Hallelujah." I told her, I said, "Oh my gosh, the Lamb of God has gave His blood for me." And now they have it for snake serum, that it's an actual sheep's blood that makes you well. So it was just an amazing time, even though the attack came. But I knew that God was in the middle of it because He loves me so much. Well, my foot kind of died. I mean, it was like about a third of my foot. I didn't have any feeling. I came to the minister's conference. I've been coming for many years. Tuesday, when Rick Renner came up and Brother Copeland was introducing him, and Brother Copeland said, "This is the signature scripture of God's signature of His love." And Brother Copeland read Mark 16 about, "You'll take up serpents and you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Well, right when I heard the word, faith came, because faith comes by hearing the word. And it just struck me. And here I was sitting in the row and I thought, you know what? I need to take up that serpent, even though it happened a year and a half ago. Just something just came alive in me. And then as Rick Renner was preaching, I had this hot foot. It was like all of a sudden my foot kind of had a cramp in it or something. Then all of a sudden I realized my foot has feeling in it. So I was just telling everybody. I was trying to listen to the sermon, but I was so excited. I couldn't wait to share it. So my foot, 3 days later, 2 days later, it has the same exact feeling as the other foot. It's because of His great love. You know, He loves us so much. And that's the foundation of what He did when He sent Jesus for the world.
If you want to enjoy a life of success and victory, then you have to do things God's way. The good news is, God has made a way for you to enjoy this kind of life He has for you. He sent Jesus to die in your place and pay the price for sin, which separated you from God. Then Jesus was raised from the dead, victorious over sin and all the powers of darkness. Now he's inviting you to share in his victory by being born into God's family. If you're ready to leave the life of darkness and defeat behind, then I encourage you to pray this with me. Lord, I call upon your name today. I give you my life. Be my total victory. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you that I'm born again. Amen. Praise God. You've just been born into his family. God has rescued you from the kingdom of darkness and made you a born-again citizen of his kingdom. You are a joint heir with Jesus, sharing in all the rights and privileges he has. If you'd like to learn more about your new life in God's family, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift they would like to send you for free, and it's called the Salvation Package. There's a book called He Did It All For You and two brochures to help you get started reading your Bible. These resources will help you understand your new life and identity in God's kingdom. God, your loving Heavenly Father, is so ready to teach you how to live your life in victory. To request your salvation package, go to kcm.org. If you have just received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, call us and let us know. We want to rejoice with you for the new life you've received. Our prayer ministers here at KCM are licensed and trained in the Word of God, and they are ready to pray in faith with you over any situation you may be facing.
Now you're getting a taste of what it's like at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Amen. These things are extremely important. Now, to know those facts is not, you know, salvation is not based on it. But the answers to these questions improve your knowledge of the book. Yes. And therefore, you can witness and help people.
Yes.
So, we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Greg Stevens, and all of the class reminding you again that God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Whoa. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you called the Salvation Package. Learn about the new birth and how you can live your new life victoriously in Christ. Email us at partners@kcm.org.uk and receive your free package. Keep your heart full of God's Word and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.